We have a slightly abbreviated chair. Thank you for accommodating the earlier time, everybody. Because I asked my brother to, I put on the WhatsApp, I asked my brother to speak about Ravnatha Greenblatt, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, at 2 o'clock. I did tell him Minchas at 2:30. Hopefully, I'm sure he's not going to go all the time. But I just thought it's, as in the past, I've always been... I always think when an Adam Gadol passes away, especially if it's an Adam Gadol that most people here did not have Darach Shaychus to and have not had interactions with, I think it's important to appreciate, and particularly with Ravnatha, because Ravnatha was an out-of-town Gadol, which is almost entirely unique, meaning living in a small Jewish community, being one of the Gadolim of America, like, without a doubt, one of the Gadolim of America, is something that's very, very rare, and I think that hearing from someone who knew him well is important. I did not know him well, but I only asked him Shiloh once, and my brother was extremely close to him.
Ravnatha the one who quoted earlier in the year about the baby wipes, and he quoted him sharing motion of the baby wipes and
like okay with
that. That the what? That the baby wipes are okay? Is he the one who quoted
Shane Gorsha? No. Rafaim was his nephew. Rafaim wrote Shuv's River. Rafaim also lived in Memphis. But Ravnatha was like the biggest expert in Ebenezer, certainly in America, probably, perhaps in the world. If you saw pictures of him, he looks like, a conservative Talibas. it's hard to fathom the level of how unassuming he was. Just really incredible. Anyway, my brother knows him a lot better than I do, and my brother got Shimush and Gittin from Ravnatha. Ravnatha would travel around the country. Every week he'd just go around writing Gittin for people, and very often cajoling and making sure that a get gets written and that there's permission, and that permission is given for a get to be done. And there are a lot of getting to be done in California. So he used to stay by my brother all the time for like a week at a time when he would do getting in California. So he taught my brother how to do getting also. And he wrote a haskama to my brother Sefer. So and they were close. They were close enough that when Ravnatha died, the family called my brother right away. So I didn't realize they were that close, but apparently they weren't because my mother told me that my brother found out. I knew my brother found out before it was anywhere, before it was online or anything. And my mother said, yeah, because David Greenblatt called my brother because he knew that he was close, so he called him right away as soon as he was lifted. So apparently he was that close. So, I figured it's good. Plus, as Professor Schwartz said to me this morning, it's good for the guys in the yeshiva to get to know your brother anyway, because he's big stuff. So, okay. So, yeah, that too. Okay, but we're going to do muksa, yeah? So, is that? Okay. All right. So let's get started. So I wanted the main topic today to be Klishon Nachta Le'Isser, but we're going to introduce. We're just going to finish up.
Are you muted? Is that what
I mean?
We're okay. Okay. So I wanted the main topic to be Klishon Nachta Le'Isser, but I just want to finish up a little bit, just one or two points about Mutzah Machmas Chesun Kis before we get back into Klisha Machmas Le'Isser. So, point number one, one of the examples of Mutzah Machmas Chesun Kis in the classical poskin is paper. That paper is Mutzah Machmas Chesun Kis. Because who would ever take paper and ruin perfectly good paper? You put it away, you make sure that it stays clean so that you could use it when you want to write letters or whatever else. So, Mr. Brun, Sivkar, and Gimel, poskins that plain paper is Mutzah Machmas Chesun Kis, because it's set aside for writing. It's not used for any other purposes. So Moshe, in Or Chaim Chelek Dalet, Simen Ayin Beis, paskins that one might say that nowadays, paper is, it's so easy to come by. It's so very cheap that you would think it's no longer Mokstam Machmas Cheshvan Kis. I ran out of computer paper last week. I went on Amazon. I ordered a case of paper. How many come in one of those packages? 500, and we have like 8 in the case. I got 4,000 pieces of paper. Did I do the math right just now? I think so. So I have 4,000 pieces of paper for what does it cost per case? $30 or something, $20, whatever it is. Like, crazy. Like, can you even do the math on that? Like, how much would be spent? That's good. So granted, it's not about how much it costs, but like, you know, it's got to be a little bit about it having some value, and paper is nothing. It's mamash zero. So says Rav Moshe, not true. He says, "Delo matzinu bar das shema'ave niyaros sheyachal lichtov aleihem." No bar das takes away perfectly good paper and ruins them and throws them away. Kibishnosim niyaros b'sefer sheyum mechanim lichtov aleihem havan chasim sham b'sefer ba'ofen sheyashivu sham b'tov k'mos kosim agavam sham nasa sefer basal dover as. I think he's describing like a loose leaf. That if you have paper put in a notebook or in a loose leaf that's holding it and that's keeping it, so that you're able to write on it, so it's designated in the makom, and that's muktzamach maschesh on kiss. No bar das ever used a piece of paper for anything else. So I think this is a metzius question. It's not a halacha question. I just don't think that's true, right? If you have a loose leaf with a bunch of papers in it, or you have a computer, you have a printer with a bunch of loaded with paper, and you need something to save the place in your book really quick, and that's what's available to you, so you quickly grab it and you save the place in your book, and that's it. Meaning, no, or you need to put something down, and you don't have a coaster, and you don't want to leave a thing on your ring on your desk. I don't know, maybe this is just me. Maybe I'm just a slob. Maybe I'm not a bar das. But you know, Ramesha says no bar das would do this. I do it all the time. I'll just pull the paper out of my computer and put it down, and put my coffee mug down on the paper. So Ramesha seems to be saying that it's something that no one would ever do. It could be that the Metzius has changed since Ramesha. I will note that I was at Rav Shapter's house a couple of weeks ago, and the Rebbetzin came in, and we meet either in the dining room or in the living room. We were in his study. You know, it's a duplex, so the study is like it's like two apartments that are exactly the same, one on top of the other. So what's the dining room downstairs is his study upstairs. So we were in his study, and the Rebbetzin came in, and she was not happy. It was a mess. She said, "No one's leaving here until this place gets cleaned up." So we're like, "Okay, we'll take whichever svarim you want us to take." She's like, "No, that's for the grandkids." Shai's like, "The grandkids don't want him." just get rid of them. But anyway, so we're like, "So what should we get rid of?" She said, "Oh, look at all these papers all over the place." So Rabbi Isaac Rice started looking around at the papers, and he said, "Rebbe, do you still need your itinerary from Los Angeles from last month?" So the Rebbe said, "Yeah, of course he needs it, because what if he thinks of a Shtickle Torah? He's going to have to write on the back of the itinerary from Los Angeles," meaning that he never wastes any paper. So if there's a paper that has on one side something, he'll always just write his notes or a Shtickle Torah or something on the other side of the paper. So Rav Shapter said, "That's if I were Rothschild, I'd be richer than Rothschild, because I would have all this paper also. Rothschild would waste all this paper, but I save all this paper." But most people, I think, are not like that, right? I mean, most people. My father was like that. Every time he printed something, it probably still does this. Every time he prints something, and it accidentally comes out on one side. Before printers had two-side printing, when he print things on one side, he would always put it back in the printer to, you know, for the next usage to print on the other side. Like my essays in school had like people's tax returns on the back. But I think nowadays most people are not like that, and therefore it's hard to imagine that it's muktzamach maschesh on kiss. Rav Ozner and Shevet Halevi in Chelet Tesem and Ayin Ches writes, that b'zman hazeh the shchiach niyar levan tuva in lahachmir kol kach b'zeisa, so much white paper shouldn't be machmir about this. He says special paper, I don't know, resume paper or something like that might be different, and that's what Shlomo Zalman also says, that paper nowadays is not considered muktzamach maschesh on kiss. And this is important because it's a good example of how things can change, and the examples, the classic examples that the Poskim gave, may not be viable examples for our times in terms of how things are categorized. I was thinking today what's a classic example in Shulchan Aruch of a kli shel nachal iser? A hammer. Why? Because you crack nuts with hammers. Anybody in your life? You ever crack a nut with a hammer? We buy them shelled. They're like a dollar cheaper, a dollar more expensive. They shell them for you. You know, like I don't know. I never cracked a nut. They have, you know, if I was the kind of person that cracked nuts, I don't remember the last time I cracked a nut. But if I was the kind of person that cracked nuts, I'd probably have a nutcracker. But I don't know if people use hammers. I'm not so convinced that a hammer is something that's ever used for anything but iser nowadays. Yeah.
Why is this discussion of paper any different when it comes to a
when it comes to toothbrush, I think a toothbrush.
You order a toothbrush on Amazon for $1.
Yeah, but you don't use it for anything else. No, there's two things. There are two separate things. With paper, the question is whether you'd be makpid to not use it for something else, right? So that's what Ramesh writes. Ramesh says you'd be makpid not to use it for something else. I'm telling you personally. I don't know. Maybe you guys are all different than me. Personally, I'm not makpid not to use it for something else. But my toothbrush, I don't use for something else, and I wouldn't because I still want to have a toothbrush until it's time to throw it out, or until it's time to, you know, when it's time to throw it out, I might then use it for whatever, you know. I don't know what Elliot would use it for. But
I think if you needed it, you wouldn't use it.
I don't remember.
No, I get that it doesn't.
Do you remember the last time you used your toothbrush or anything else?
No, but that's because it doesn't have other uses.
So
if there was something I needed it for, I don't think I'd have any hesitation.
Yeah?
Then
I think I would.
Using it as toothbrush.
That's my toothbrush. I don't want to. Yeah, I don't know. Okay, now large furniture. The Shulchan Aruch and Sif Beis passes that large and heavy kelim that are difficult to move because of their size and weight are still considered regular kelim. They're not considered muktzim nachmas cheson kis. We already point out Mishnah Berurah Sifchan Ches says that even large and heavy kelim are not muktzah if you move them during the week as well. However, if you're also careful not to move them during the week because you're afraid that moving them will damage them, sometimes they have like an old dresser. And if you move it, like you hear the creaking of the legs coming off of it or something like that. So you wouldn't want to, or an old bookshelf that, like, you know, with it needs all the svarim and it just to hold it up. Because when you take the svarim off, like the whole thing like tilts in one direction or the other. Maybe it's just me, but I've had this. So in such cases, you don't move these things. If you've had your IKEA bookshelf for more than 2 weeks, you probably can't move it at this point. Meaning, if you move it, it's likely to just fall to pieces. So if that's the case, you wouldn't move it because you're afraid that it's going to get damaged. Then that's not called mutzah machnas chesron kis, because that's not that you're miyachad al-bakom in order to protect it. You just don't want to ruin it, in the sense that it's a piece of garbage. it's gonna fall apart. Now mutzah machnas chesron kis that breaks on Shabbos, we discussed briefly. Just want to mention there's one last thing about mutzah machnas chesron kis. Mishnah Berurah at the end of Sifkat Lamed Hei writes that if something is classified as mutzah machnas chesron kis when Shabbos started, it's migo diskatzay lebin hashmashos diskatzay lekula yoma. It remains muktzah machnas chesron kis the entire Shabbos, since at the onset of Shabbos it was muktzah, right? We do apply migo diskatzay, the Mishnah Berurah says. So if the shechita knife falls and gets ruined on Shabbos, and you say, oh, it got ruined anyway, it was an old knife anyway, I'll retire it as a shechita knife and I'll use it to chop vegetables for my salad, so you're not allowed to use it for the duration of that Shabbos. However, as we pointed out, Kiveger disagrees. Rabbi Kiveger on the Magen Avraham, Sifkat and Yotes, disagrees, and he says that it only remains muktzah machnas chesron kis if it's no longer usable. But if the broken muktzah machnas chesron kis can still be used for some intended purpose, like a damaged shechita knife can still be used as a knife, then it is not muktzah. Then it loses its muktzah status on Shabbos, and it's based on that Rabbi Kiveger that Rav Shlomo Zalman paskin that merchandise that you're careful not to use during the week, but then decide on Shabbos that you want to use it for yourself. Remember we discussed that, right? You decide on Shabbos. You have your store that sells challah covers and things like that, and salt shakers and whatever. You decide on Shabbos that you want to use it. So it's based on that Rabbi Kiveger that Rav Shlomo Zalman is makel against the Mishnah Berurah, really. But everyone agrees that that by the next Shabbos, meaning if the shechita knife fell and broke this Shabbos, or fell and got damaged this Shabbos, by next Shabbos is for sure not muktzah machnas chesron kis. By next Shabbos, you know, even when Shabbos started, it already wasn't a shechita knife anymore. Period. That closes the chapter of muktzah machnas chesron kis.
So going back to what you're saying before about furniture, if you're scared it's not going to break, that doesn't make it muktzah machnas chesron kis. Why is it different than a phone? People aren't really miyachid makom for their phone. Like, people lose their phone all the time. They're careful with it because they don't want it to break.
It might be different because they're meaning you are miyachid makom if you ever put it down, but no one ever puts it down. Meaning no one ever is misalik themselves from the phone. So when you're charging it, you put it in a place to charge it. Otherwise, you need it tethered to you always. Meaning I don't know if there's a parallel in all of human history of the connection that a human being has in 2022 to their phone. So
right.
It could be that it is.
So how could it be multiple Michael's house for kids?
Because you are miyachid makom when you aren't using it. Miyachid makom is not when you're actually using it, it's when you're not using it, but you're always using it. So when you're not using it is when you're charging it, let's say. And then you are miyachid makom, you put it in a charger, or in those little cubbies downstairs.
You'll charge your phones everywhere, wherever you...
Wherever there's an outlet. Yeah. I hear.
Meaning you're not chinami. If you're a type of person who's not so careful, Rebbe pointed out, if you're not so careful with your phone, it's not most of
them. No, but he's saying, like, everybody charges their phone everywhere. No one... Meaning, who has, like, a phone cubby at home? Like, meaning everyone just has it wherever. Or it could be that the case is what protects it, and that's the... I don't know.
Mr. Vicky, you're saying that you can damage the iPhone, or just the...
Oh, I don't remember. You saw the Rebbe Kivay.
You said you could switch it.
You said you... No, to damage it? Oh, yeah, you said you could switch it. Right.
So, okay. Meaning even though it's Mekalkel.
Even though it's Mekalkel? What do you mean it's Mekalkel?
Mekalkel's still Mr. Derabana.
No. When you're doing a Malacha, so it would knock it down to the Derabana, and if it's a Mekalkel.
So... Even if it's not a
meaning you're not doing anything. Down. Yeah.
Okay.
Now, klisha machlisser. Oh, sorry.
Would a weapon be considered a
Good question. Right? Meaning, let's say you have a gun. Is that a klisha machlisser, klisha machlisser, or mutsa machlisser kiss? So when you... So you're miyachin makum for not to protect it. You're miyachin makum for to protect you, to protect your children.
No, you don't want someone else taking it also.
You don't want anyone getting hurt. Meaning it's not about the value, it's not because of the value of the weapon, it's because you just don't want anyone getting killed. So you put it in a gun locker or something like that. So one could argue that that would not make it Motsamach Maschesron Kiss, even though you're super careful with it. Although I hear the Taina, right? Maybe it is Motsamach Maschesron Kiss because you are super careful with it, and that ultimately is what it's all about. Once asked from the Yitzchak Zilberstein about carrying guns in shul on Shabbos, and he timed that it's a klisha menachta leheter, that it's not a klisha. If you hold mitzvah chesed kiss, has to first be a klisha menachta leiser. So he said it's a klisha menachta leheter. He said because the major shtamshus of it is just carrying it as a, meaning you take it out and the other guy runs, right? Meaning that's the, you don't have to shoot it for it to do its job usually. And the adrava, if there's a situation where you do have to shoot it, then it's pikuach nefesh, and it's motor to shoot the gun. So therefore, it's klisha menachta leheter. I think I asked Rav Shachter about that, and he thought that was a joke. He said it's a malacha to shoot a gun. Meaning, what do you mean? That's not, even though you're allowed to do that malacha in pikuach nefesh situations, you're allowed to do every malacha in pikuach nefesh situations. And the main usage of your gun is not a pikuach nefesh situation. The main time you shoot a gun is at practice, right? Meaning, if the first time you're ever shooting it is when that guy is coming for you, that's a problem. Meaning, you got to go to a range. Meaning, these guys that get like licensed by, you know, these from organizations that help, you know, like all the Jewish Rambos, you know, that like want to, you know, whatever. I mean, not making fun, a little bit, but you know, they go and practice a lot, you know, in order to be able. So that's. Please mark this.
Speaking about the cell phones and stuff, keep saying miyachid makom. I thought we had established early on that
it's a simin, not a siba.
It's not even like a necessary.
It's a simin, not a siba. Yeah, it's a simin, not a siba. That's true. But but a gun. Meaning, you are very careful with your guns. I assume so, right? Meaning, you don't just like what was that football player that had it like in his sweatpants and then ended up shooting his foot off? Right? So, like, we don't do that. Most people don't do that. There's a reason why that was crazy. Like, who does that? There was a guy in my shul many years ago. He passed away already. His name was Larry Cohn. He was like, when everyone in the shul was like in their 20s and early 30s, he was like in his 80s. And he davened with us and he loved us. We loved him. Great guy. So one time, like, I gave a drush and I mentioned something like, if you're crazy enough to have a gun in your house, and like I said something like that, and he came over to me, he never criticized anything I said. He said, Rabbi, I take exception to what you said. He said, I have a gun in my house, and if I didn't, I wouldn't be here today to tell you about it. He said, I have three little pitzalok in my house that I raised, and with a gun in the house all the time. So what do you mean you wouldn't be here today? He said, when I was living in Far Rockaway, I don't know how he used to say, Far Rockaway, when I was living in Far Rockaway, it was the middle of the night, a guy, he said, you know, like on the side of your mattress, you have like those plastic handles to lift the mattress? He So that's where I stuck my gun. the plastic handle on the side of the mattress. And he said, I woke up in the middle of the night and I saw a guy in the room. Now, Larry Cohen wasn't able to duchen. His hands were like all like bent. Like, I don't know, he had some arthritis or something. So he said, I took my gun, I aimed for his chest, I hit him in the knee. He hopped out and we caught him a block away when the cops caught him, and I got a Medal of Honor from Mayor Ed Koch. I thought, now you'd be put in jail probably for that. But he got a Mayor of Honor. He showed me his Medal of Honor from Mayor Ed Koch in 1981 that he got from shooting the guy. But most people, I think, don't keep their gun in there, you know, they handle the side of the mattress. Yeah.
The mice, I don't get why the gun should not be a klishe malato that machmas chesser and kiss, because we probably don't possibly for bavida that it first has to be and then whatever, and most people are very careful.
Yeah, I hear. Once you raise it, I hear the timer. Yeah, do poskim talk about it? They must talk about it. Or Shad is someone?
But being chesser and kiss, everyone doesn't mention it.
He doesn't mention it? Someone text him?
I mean, I saw it a while ago, but he didn't mention any shirts in the though.
Okay.
Shirts in the book on Sabimon's book on Sabimon. No, he doesn't mention it there. That's where I saw it.
He doesn't mention
he just puts the two. I mean, I saw it a few years ago.
So maybe ask him why it's not Chesron Kiss. He's your buddy now. So ask him why it's not Chesron Kiss. Okay. I think David Kirsch is hanging out with Rabbi Mon today. Maybe text him. He'll ask. Okay, now let's move on. Klisha Melachto L'Isra. So Rava teaches Gemara Kuf Chav Dalet, Shabbos Kuf Chav Dalet, that the Sorek Tavish Amach Lehetta Ben Sorek Kuf Ben Sorek Mekomo Shlo Sorek Vafil Chamel Tzel the Dovish Amach to the Isser the Sorek Kuf Ben Sorek Mekomo in the Chamel Tzel Lo the Ferish Gemara Rava Paskins now, and we Paskin like this statement of Rava and the Klish Amach to the Isser you're allowed to move the Sorek Kuf Ben Sorek Mekomo but you're not allowed to move Mechama Letzel. We have to define every single part of that sentence. What is a Klish Amach to the Isser? What is Tzorech Gufo? What is Tzorech Mekomo? What is Chamel Itzel? And what about things that are neither Tzorech Gufo, nor Tzorech Mekomo, nor Chamel Itzel? How do we categorize those things? Because the Gemara only gave three options of what you might move something for, but there are infinite options of why you might want to use something. So let's start with just the definition of Klisha Machlisr. So before getting into any of the details, just to define what it means, a Klisha Machlisr. So Klisha Machlisr is an object whose main function is to perform malacha. And in Bir Halacha writes, it doesn't matter whether its main function is to perform malacha d'oraisa or to perform malacha d'rabbanan, if its main function is to perform a malacha. If its main function is to perform something that you are noheg b'toras chumra, so you wouldn't do on Shabbos b'toras chumra, but is neither a malacha d'oraisa nor a malacha d'rabbanan, that's a machlokas. Levush in Shin Ches Mem Tes says that is not a klisha malach d'l'isher, that's still considered klisha malach d'l'heter, whereas in Mishvur and Sharetzian and Shin Lamed Ches Kof Lamed quotes many achronim who consider that to be malach d'l'isher as well. Some Bir Halacha over here, he only goes so far as say drabanan, that if it's a klisha malachto l'isra drabanan, it's also a klisha malachto l'isra. What if it's a klisha malachto l'chumra? So in Sharetzion he says also a klisha malachto l'isra, but the Levush says no, that would be a klisha malachto l'heter. What's the nekudas hamachlokas between those achronim, between the Levush and the Sharetzion? So maybe it's a matter of practicality or the actual category. Meaning there's a category called klisha malachto le-isser. If you only know something as a chumran, you know that it's really mutzer, so it's not really isser. But if practically you're makta daito hemena, that you would never want to use it. So maybe that's enough to make it a klisha malachto le-isser. Meaning for you, you consider that activity to be isser for you. You don't engage in that activity. How we define what its main usage, that's defined as a kli that's set aside to do an isser, and the majority of its usage is the isser. Like the example that the Bir Halacha writes in Dibra Maschul Kardom is you have a pot, you set it aside for cooking, the majority of its usage is for cooking, even though pots can also be used for other things. Sometimes after you finish taking the food that you're going to eat for dinner out of the pot, you notice you still have half a pot of soup left, and instead of putting it into a Tupperware or something like that, you just put the lid back on the pot and put it in the fridge. Now it's not being used for cooking, it's being used for storage. That's also a viable use for a pot, but it's not the primary use for a pot. So that would therefore make a pot or a pan a kli shemalachto le'iser. What happens though if the main usage is not that the object performs malacha, but the main usage of the object is the object is activated through malacha, meaning a fan blows air on you. Blowing air is not a malacha. You could blow all day long. If you can afford to hire people to just cool you by just blowing, that's great, right? Meaning that there's no malacha in blowing air. But the only way you get a fan to work is if you plug it in and turn it on. So the only way to activate it is by doing a malacha. So what is the status of that? Is that considered klishul machtulis? It's from Maisha Nigus Moshe Rechaim Chedekesim Chav Gimel, says that an electrical device only qualifies klishul machtulis if the device performs a malacha, not if it's activated by a malacha. If it doesn't perform a malacha, even though it's powered by electricity, not a klishul machtulis. Klishul machtulis is defined as its milacha, what it does, meaning you take the phrase very literally. Its milacha is an iser. It happens to be that Ramesha elsewhere in Archaim Chedek Gimel Sim Memtes seems to be machmir. He says yesh tam gadol leesar, but in Chelakei he's pretty explicitly makel. So therefore, if you have, let's say, an electrical George Foreman grill or something like that, so that's clearly klishul machtel leiser, because even when it's doing its work, it's doing an iser, it's being mevashel. But an electric fan that only blows cold air on you, or warm air, or whatever air is in the room, is considered klishul machtel leheter based on Rav Moshe. There is a comment that Rav Shlomo Zalman has that I don't understand. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, based on this, I think it's according to Shulchan Shlomo, that hearing aids are klishul machtel leheter because of this. Because to turn on the hearing aid is malacha, that just activates the hearing aid, but hearing is not a malacha. I don't understand that bichlal, because you're right, hearing is not a malacha. The guy can't hear. You know what is a malacha? To talk into a microphone. That's a malacha. So I don't understand how you can say a hearing aid is a klishul machtel leheter, l'chor, that's a klishul machtel leheter, because as it's being used, it's magnifying, or whatever you would call that in sound, right? The voice of the person who's talking to you. Rav Vosner in Shevet HaLevi disagrees with Ramosha entirely, and other poskim as well disagree with Ramosha. They hold that a fan is considered klishul machtel leiser, certainly when it's on, because the malacha is being done in order for it to operate, and therefore, if you need to move it, best to move it with your foot, because there are those that are even more machmir. Nissim Krell told that when it's on, it's mutzamachmas gufo, because there's an electric current running through it, so it becomes mutzamachmas gufo. So essentially, if you have a fan that's on in the room, before you decide, am I allowed to move it or am I not allowed to move it, is it sort of gufo, is it sort of makom? Before you get into that conversation, you first have to discuss what is it. In fact, let's keep coming back to a fan, because it happens to be a great example of, you know, where we can get through a lot of the issues of how we define a klishul machtel leiser, how we define sorach gufo, and how we define sorach makomo. So let's say you have this fan. Before you decide why it is you want to move it, and whether that reason that you want, your motivation for moving it, is considered sorach gufo, sorach makomo, first have to define what it is. And it's a three-way machlokas. Rav Moshe, klishul machtel leheter. Rav Vazir says klishul machtel leiser. Rav Nissim Krell told it's mutzah machmas gufo if it is on. Questions? Yeah.
But
if a fan is on.
Well, because a fan, the only way to use it is to perform a malacha.
Oh, but it's already on.
Let's say it's off.
Oh, so if it's off, maybe it's different.
So if it's off, it would be more machmir than if it's on?
Not according to Vanessa Krell, it's because.
It also becomes. I mean, even if it's on, to turn it off would also be.
Yeah. We'll discuss this when we get to a light switch. Yeah. It could be that it's more chamur. Could be that it's more chamur. It's off. Less reason to move it. It's off. Most of the time, if you want to move it, it's because it's on and you want it blowing somewhere else, or you don't want it blowing where it is blowing. So the shilas usually don't come up when it's off. I would think Ramesha makes no sense. That's a klishul machtel leheter. But keep in mind all the shitos. Just to, you know, see if you're not.
Does it matter if it's battery operated or plugged in?
Why would it matter?
still have to turn it on, even if that, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think it's.
There's a support in Mordechai that lighting a candle.
Yeah, okay.
Is that similar to the case of. It's not. You don't do malacha to the fan, but you still turn on the fan. The candle, how you do malacha to use. On the
it could be that the candle is a different category entirely. So that machlokas, that Mordechai against everybody else, is really whether Mutsamachmas Kufo is Mutter Mutsar Kufo Tsar Makama. It's not really Krishna Machlokas. So it could be, even though it's here, based on what he mentions it here, it's not so he mentions it elsewhere too, it's not so clear that it's about this topic really.
Even if it's a Krishna Machlokas Isser, there's no Nafkamina, right?
Oh no, there are big nafkaminas. Mechamel itself.
That would never occur.
Oh, well, okay, we'll get there. Klishon machlis. Before we get to that, klishon machlis. What if it's kol malach talisr? So this is a huge discussion in poskim. If you have a kli that it's not just malach talisr, but it can't be used for anything else. Its only usage is isr. Meaning we define klishon malach talisr as the primary usage of the kli is the isr. But what if you have a klishon malach talisr where the only usage of the kli is the isr? So some poskim are of the opinion that if the kli is only used for a malacha and has no way to be used the heter, then it becomes muksa machlas gufo. And the lumdus is like this, that klishon malach talisr, you're allowed to be metaltal with tzorech gufo and tzorech makomo. But if you have something that every single tzorech gufo is going to be a malacha, that takes away the heter of tzorech gufo. There's no way you could do it with tzorech gufo, because the tzorech gufo, there's no way to use it other than the malacha. So there's no heter with tzorech gufo. So maybe if there's no heter with tzorech gufo, mimele, there's no heter of tzorech makomo, and now it might as well be muksa machmas gufo. That's the discussion that the Achronim had. That maybe something that's kol malach talisr, because kol malach talisr, there's no heter l'tzorach kufa, mele, there's also no heter l'tzorach makomo. So in order for a kli shel malach talisr to be, for the kli to be a kli shel malach talisr, it has to have some tashmish l'heter as well. So George Foreman Grill, right? Would you ever use it, coming back to that, we already discussed that as a kli shel malach talisr, but is it so pasha? Is there anything else you do with the George Foreman Grill other than grill? Right, meaning other than cook, so that might be a muksa machmas gufo and not a klishon malach talisr. According to this, a hammer can be used for building, but it could also be used for cracking nuts if that's what you do. Yeah.
With saying like, if I needed it, I could use my George Foreman as a cheaper wage.
Okay, so we'll get that in a second. Now, before we get that, but the Aruch HaShulchan says that a lamp, which can only be used for isr, because its only use is to give light, becomes a muksa machmas gufo, is not a klisha machmas isr, and that's one of the chumras of the kosher lamp, that they dafka treat it as a muksa machmas gufo. So one of the chumras that they have is they made it unnecessarily heavy. All these lamps, they either put like rubber on the bottom so that it doesn't move easily, and the only thing you're moving is the piece that's over it, but you're not moving it. So they did that on purpose, to make it heavier, because if you hold that it's not Samachmas Gufo, you shouldn't be moving it, so they make it harder to move it. Yavnei Nezer in Aruch Chaim Siman Nun Hesiv Katan Beis is Machmir also, and he says, a klisha malach talisr doesn't mean that it's ra'ui l'malach, that it's ain't a ra'ui l'malach sater. Because by virtue of the fact that it's mutl tal to tzorach gufo, it's clear that it can be used b'darach hater. So klisha malach talisr, obviously, by definition, if it's mutl tal to tzorach gufo, by definition, is ra'ui to use for malachas hater. And the Avnei Nezer breaks it down into three categories. And he says, something that has no hater use whatsoever, that's mutl machmas gufo, the same subject to the machlokes of Rabbi Shimon about muksa. Everyone agrees that's muksa. That's the highest level of muksa, when it's got no use of heter whatsoever. When it's primarily used for iser, but it also has some secondary heter benefit, like a hammer, that's the machlokas, right? That's the machlokas of Rabbi Shimon, whether that's muksa. And when it's primarily used for iser, but it's also very usable for heter, I'm sorry, the second category is Machlok Shabid Rabbi Shimon. When it's in that third category, it's primarily used for Isser, but also very usable for Eter. It's a Kalisha Machlok Isser that could be used with Tzorach Kufa, with Tzorach Makoma, which, by the way, the Bir Halacha disagrees with that last point. The Bir Halacha says, no, if it's really just as good to use for Eter, it's just that 60% of the time use it for an iser, 40% of the time use it for a heter. But it's not unusual to use it for a heter. It's really made for that heter purpose also. Then that's a kli shel nakla heter, the Biralach says. It's not a kli shel nakla iser. What would be a good example of that? Something that is just as natural to use it for a dvar heter, it's just somewhat less frequent to use for a dvar heter, where the Biralach says that's a kli shel nakla heter, and the Avnei Nezer writes a kli shel nakla iser. Anyone think of an example? I can't think of one. No? Anything? Nobody? Come on, there's got to be a good example. All right, that's your own one. Got to come up with an example. Someone put it on the chat, a good example. Right? I'm looking for an example. Mishubura in Sifkat Lamedalit Paskins on this issue. Mishubura writes, Ner Shalim Shal Shavo, Chelev Afilu, Nidlaka Kvar Bechol, O Bishab Shavra. And he says, he says, people think that you're allowed to move a ner so that it doesn't get ruined or to give it to an any Yehudi to light. You're only allowed to be metalta kli shel nakla iser if you're going to use it tzarich kufa tzarich mekama. Tzarich kufa means tzarich something that's permissible. Ubesefer marks here machmir dafil ner shalim tzarich mekama asul metalta she'ain olav shem kli to lo chazi la'achilu tashmish. Meaning kelim that are only used to perform a melacha are considered kli shel nakla iser. According to the Magen Avraham, even if there's no permissible use, but he quotes a Mark Tzia, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, who's Machmir. Rabbi Yaakov Emden says if there's no permissible use for it, then it's going to be it's not going to be Kli Shel Melacha L'Isser. However, there are many contemporary Achronim, Rabbi Yashiv, Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Shechter also, that are machmir on this issue, that they view it that if something has no permissible use whatsoever, then it's going to be muktzah machmas gufo. As far as Magen Avraham is concerned, Rosh Hashanah Zalman argues that the Magen Avraham would, I mean, Rosh Burai, according to Magen Avraham, was Mekil, so Rosh Hashanah Zalman says Magen Avraham would agree that it's also Taltel Tzorach Mekomo, and he's dafka lenient by torches, because there are Rishonim that explain that the case of the torches, where they would carry unlit torches to accompany a person to a Beis HaKnesses, and it wasn't really, it was just like a show. Its main use was not to light anything or to do any malacha. It was just a way of derech kavod, derech hashivus. They'd accompany something like a Hasidish Rebbe's cane, right? I remember when the Boston Rebbe came to North Woodmere for Shabbos, he carried a cane with him on Shabbos. He walks fine. He doesn't need a cane. But it's, you know, it's a derech kavod to walk around with a cane. And Priskarav also, and many Hasidish rabbis have like this, where they have like a, you know, a sharbit of malchus that they walk around. It's a style in Hasidus. There are different styles of Hasidus. One style that seems to have taken, there were two styles. One is that it's total precious of everything, Gashmius. That wasn't so popular. And then there's the style where it's like malchus, where like there's a royal court. The Rebbe sits on a gold throne, chalisa. So something like that. You know that these torches, says Shlomo Zalman, is not a riot to anything. Now I found it interesting. Rav Simcha Bun Kohn in this sefer has a long, long footnote on this topic, a fascinating footnote. Rav Shlomo Zalman writes that if there is some permissible but very infrequent and far-fetched usage of the kli, like using it as a paperweight so that your papers don't fly away, that would still be enough to make it a kli shel nakla iser, not a kli shel nakla iser. I mean, if there's some far-fetched way to use it in a derech heter, then it's, I mean, even though Rosh Hashanah is machmir, something that has no derech heter usage, it now becomes muktzah machmas gufo. If there's even just a far-fetched way to be able to use it for derech heter, then it's still klisha machmas gufo. So Rav Asher Weiss, in his chidushim in Minchas Asher and Shabbos, says, give me an example of something that doesn't have some far-fetched way, you know, to use b'derech heter. You know what a George Foreman grill can be used for? A paperweight. You know what everything can be used for? A paperweight. You know, like there's nothing that you're going to find that doesn't have some far-fetched usage that could be used. B'derech Heter. So Rav Asher doesn't think, he knows that there's a machlokas achronim about something that's kol malachto v'isser. But he thinks that the definition of kol malachto v'isser is different than Rav Shlomo Zalman's definition of kol malachto v'isser. I mean, Rav Shlomo Zalman, in the end of the day, is makil because he has such a strict criteria for kol malachto v'isser that nothing meets that criteria. Whereas Rav Asher Weiss says, no, kol malachto v'isser means that any normal way any normal person uses it is always l'isser. You never see anybody using it for anything but isser.
So according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, you can move your Shabbos light, and according to Rav Asher Weiss, you can't move your Shabbos light?
According to Rav Asher Weiss, it's subject to that machlokas achron.
Which we pass again.
Which he might be makel about.
Okay.
Yeah. Meaning it could be that I'm going to land in the same place, but for different reasons. Right? I mean, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, I'm machmir about kol malachto l'isser. By the way, there's nothing that's kol malachto l'isser. Right? Whereas Rav Asher Weiss will say, there are a million things that are kol malachto l'isser. I don't know what he paskins, though. I don't know if he paskins the kula
and
kol malachto
l'isser. And those kosher lambs that have the base, but then the thing that you can move on the top?
Yeah.
There's no difference between...
That doesn't have that chumah. Meaning that it's got an arm that you actually move the light itself. Yeah, that doesn't have that chumah.
Meaning...
They didn't build that chumra into it. They're assuming that you're allowed to move the light.
Why would that be different? That's what I'm not understanding.
Because you're moving the actual light. Meaning, as opposed to like the kosher. I don't know which one you're talking about. You're talking about the one with like the
swan.
Yeah, the swan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that one, you're moving the actual light, as opposed to the old classic ones that didn't actually let off any light. You remember, like they had like this narrow, like you know,
made
it spin a harakim, you know, kind of a, yeah.
You can't move the swan.
I'm not saying you can't do anything. I'm saying that that would be subject to this machlokas.
There's no difference in moving the base or the swan part.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also, isn't LED different anyway?
As far as Muksa Machlas Gufo might be different, but as far as Klisha Machlas Isser, it's probably not different.
Why is the light different than a fan? Like, what malacha are you doing with the lighting? It's activated by electricity.
Exactly. Meaning that's where LED comes in. Right, meaning that it's activated by electricity. So if you learn that a fan is a klisha malachta l'isser, so then a light is a klisha malachta l'isser.
Yeah, but a normal light, not LED.
Oh no, normal light is different because that might be a flame and has different looks like a skufa. It's a different, that's like a rock. It's a different category of looks.
Isn't that why they need that?
I mean, by the way, normal light you can't even find anymore. Yeah. There's no such thing as a normal. Meaning, it's the most abnormal light that exists nowadays.
Isn't that the reason why they made the ones with drawers? And when you open it, then there's the light. Meaning that it's not...
You're not moving the light.
And it's a drawer.
And it has another usage. We'll get to that also. That's being metalled... Right. They suggest leave something in the drawer. It happens to be... That's the best one. It really lights up the room. When you open up the drawer, like really, it gives off a good amount of light. That's what I have. But not because of halachic reasons, because it lights up the room, it actually does the job. Now, Rav Simcha ben Kohn on page 17 quotes a Tehillah LeDavid, who says, I don't understand what all the achronim are getting all excited about. They're like, they discovered in America that there's this inyan to argue about when something is kol malachto l'isser. It's a beferish of machlokas rishonim. It's a balamara and a rashba. How did everybody miss it? Beferish of balamara and a rashba. He says that it's totally in the machlokas on daf kufnun dalet amud beis. The Gemara over there says, Amrachuna, ha'isabahemto tuna klizuchuchis. If your animal's carrying klizuchuchis, maybe karmuksasas maniach techteha, umatir chaval vasakin knoflin. That you bring karmuksas, you bring some cushions, you take all the cushions off your couch, and you put it next to the behema, and then you untie the bundles from the behema, and all the fragile kalim will have a soft landing on the karmuksasas. So the Gemara says, Aiva nantna, notim kalim ani tolim bishabis, and glass kalim are nitolim bishabis, so why can't you just take the kalim themselves? Just why do you have to do this whole harama where you untie the bundle and it lands on cushions? Just take the kalim off of the animal; it should be fine. And Rav Huna answers that we're talking about kalim that were used for bloodletting, which are so ma'us, they're so miustik that they're not usable for most people. So, commenting on that Gemara, the Balmar says that since those kalim are asur betiltul tzorach gufan, they must also be asur tzorach mekoman, meaning he makes that yesod, that anything that you that has no usage because it's bloodletting kelim, so no one would ever use them for anything but bloodletting because that's gross, so no one would ever use them for anything other than a tzorich iser. Mimela, you're not going to have a heter of tzorich mekomo either. But the Rashba disagrees, and the Rashba says veinu mechuvar beinai. Sharei l'Rav Nechemya klishem nachal iser ein roi l'tal to l'tzorich gufo klal l'vishen kli nital l'didei elu l'tzorich tashmash am yuchel abavad v'afilu kelim l'tzorich mekomo m'tal to l'so. Kainir midvarb, says the Rashba, I don't understand. We always talk about Shitas Rava, that, Klisha Malach Belisri, you're allowed to move L'tzorach Gufo, L'tzorach Mekomo. There was another Shita. Rabbi Nechemya holds that a Klisha Malach Belisri, you're not allowed to move L'tzorach Gufo, and you're only allowed to move L'tzorach Mekomo. So don't tell me, Yesod, that anytime you take away the Tzorach Gufo Heter, that the Tzorach Mekomo Heter falls away also. It's not true, says the Rashba. Sometimes you can have something that's a Kli that's a Kol Malach Belisri, so the Tzorach Gufo Heter doesn't exist, but the Tzorach Mekomo Heter still exists. So says the Tehillah of David, I don't know why the Achronim act like they discovered something new over here. It's a Machlokas, Bala Ma'or, and the Rashba, whether a Kli that's called Malach Lel Isser is Mutzal Tzorach Kufo, is Mutzal Tzorach Mutzal Tzorach Mekomo. Simcha Ben Kohn says that it's strange that none of the Achronim noticed this Bala Ma'or and Rashba, and therefore he ultimately suggests that the entire Machlokas Achronim is only about a Kli that could be used in a permissible way, but just never is used in a permissible way. Meaning, he ultimately lands where Rav Asher Weiss was. That the whole discussion of the Achronim is not about a Kli that can't be used for a Davar HaMutter, because almost every Kli can be used for a Davar HaMutter. That's the Machlokas Balamar Rashba, is about a Kli that could never be used L'Davar HaMutter. That's by the bloodletting Kalim, which couldn't, which don't have any ability to be used for a Davar HaMutter. But when it comes to regular Kalim that could, that theoretically at least, could be used for a Davar HaMutter, that, or simple Ben Kohn, is, just let me know when my brother's on, and I invited others also. Yeah?
Those Kalim can still be a paperweight.
Yeah, I guess they didn't have paperweights then. I don't know. Maybe it was most used as a paperweight also. I don't know. Maybe they didn't. Or maybe glass is a terrible paperweight if it could blow away. Maybe it weren't such heavy glasses. That is a different category, but over here. No, because I'm not sure that's in that category, because it's still, you would still use them as bloodletting cases. Meaning it's not something that's become so meals that you wouldn't use it anymore. We'll have to get to that discussion as well. We're projecting, yeah? Okay. Do we have... Oh, my brother's here. Okay. Avi, do you hear? You're on mute, Avi.
I hear you. I was listening for a while.
No, you weren't. I told them to let me know as soon as you were there. Okay, so I want to, let me just start a new recording here.